Here in this chapter, we begin to consider the judge named Jephthah. He's referred to in that hall of faith by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 11. And here, in this first part of this chapter, we'll learn about the disadvantages of his origin in verses 1 through 3. We'll learn of the Gilead's choice of him in verses 4 through 11. And then we'll see in verses 12 through 28 his negotiations with the king of Ammon. And we'll learn a little bit about just wars and unjust wars. Let us hear God's word from Judges chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they came unto Jephthah and said, they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peacefully. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon and said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, and all the cities that be along the coast of Arnon, 300 years? Why, therefore, did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore, I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord the judge be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent to him. This ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Just a few observations and comments on this text. And as I said, we have the disadvantages of Jephthah's origin in verses 1 through 3. He was the son of a harlot. His brothers cast him out from his country and from them. And he, in verse 3, we're told, gathered a rabble of vain men to himself. Doesn't look like a future leader of God's people on the surface. But then we have the Gileadites' choice of him in verses 4 through 11. Israel's in distress in verse 4. We've read of that distress already last week in verse 17 of chapter 10. The elders make a request to him. He objects. Why would you want me? How come you've had to wait this long? They then show their urgency towards him in verse 8. No, we really want you. And then he bargains with him in verses 9 through 11. He says, if I'm going to take this on as a general, am I going to be your ruler after this battle? Or are you going to just cast me off again? He has a level of distrust, and you can understand why he would. And yet, he acknowledges God in this at the end of verse 11 when they're prepared to make him captain over them and head. Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. It appears that he leads in a prayer of praise to God as the head of God's people. Then in the third part of this section, we have his negotiations with the king of Ammon. He demands a reason for the king of Ammon's aggression in verse 12. The king of Ammon responds in verse 13. He says, this is really our land. And then Jephthah, in verses 14 through 28, seeks to give him a little history lesson. He explains that Israel never took the land away from them. They were told not to take the land away from the Moabites or the Ammonites in Deuteronomy 2:9 and 19. But what happened was the Amorites took this land from Moab and Ammon. And then when Israel came to go into the promised land, they asked to go through that land. And then the Amorites not only said no, but they attacked Israel. And so Israel, having to defend itself, eventually wins the victory and then possesses that land. So it originally had been Moab's and Ammon's, but it had been taken from them. And then Israel gets it back, not from an aggressive war, but as the fruits of a defensive war. And so he contends in verses 16 through 18, we were not invaders, we were not the aggressors in 19 and 20. And he says in verses 21 and 22, we got the victory over them, so we possessed it. And then he says, you've had 300 years to contend that this was your land. And now all of a sudden, that's what's being contended. 300 years have passed. There's been no contention about whose land this rightfully is. And so he says, obviously, it's ours. We've done nothing against you. And then he calls upon God to be the judge in this, let's say, controversy between nations. And we certainly learn a lot, don't we, about just and unjust wars and the importance of understanding who was the aggressor and what took place. And just because you had your land taken from you once before, if that nation comes upon another nation by aggression and loses the battle, that land, that possession would then be to the victor, not to the original owners of that land at one point. By that argument, you'd have to go back to the distribution of the land to Noah's three sons, and everything would have to be laid out to them. So I think we learn much there.